The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full accounting of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that the master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig or ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from stewardship, they will welcome me into their homes.' And so he called the master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe, my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. To the other steward he said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended this dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of the world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than with the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you'll be welcome into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. A person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
God is good.
All the time.
So welcome to the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Needless to say, there's nothing ordinary about our three readings today. They're full of spiritual challenges, somewhat difficult to grasp, but let us try to break open the Word of God here now. Our first reading speaks of the support of the needy and the poor of the land. We are warned against cheating others and trampling on their rights. But who is this guy Amos? And how does he deserve being in our sacred scriptures? Well, he was just a sheep herder in Judah, but he was also a prophet who spoke against the greed of the northern kingdom. And he was a poet and a prolific writer whose writings were inspirational and condemned the common practice of cheating at the scales, among other things. Upon reading him further, you can see why he's included in our scriptures. Read some more of him on your own. The second reading speaks of how God welcomes the prayers of those in charge and gives us a command to pray for everyone. Timothy and his group of Pauline followers wrote these letters to pastors rather than to groups like the others did. That is why these are referred to as pastoral letters. Note that this would be the first time prayer is directed to leaders and lawmakers, similar to how we pray in our prayers of the faithful, for our leaders to apply laws equally and fairly so as to have a quiet and tranquil life. But today's gospel is even more challenging than the first two readings. This gospel speaks of how we are judged. The dishonest servant is called to task by his master. and one last act to redeem himself. So he discounts the master's debts, so he will be liked by the debtors. So if and when the master does fire him, he will be received by those debtors instead of rebuked by them. But the lesson, if we are dishonest in small matters, then we will be dishonest in larger ones. By the same token, if we are energetic in our spiritual matters as we are energetic in secular ones, then we may be worthy of redemption. The gospel asks us these questions. Do we use our influence for good? Do we spontaneously do good for others? Do we use all our energy towards spiritual matters? Where do we put our focus? Do we cheat others? Or do we act above board in dealing with others? Do we respect the rights of the poor, the homeless, and the needy? No servant can have two masters. He will either hate one or love the other, love one or despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. And of course, mammon is worldly material possessions. Now, it seems a little weird that Jesus could be condoning dishonesty, but you have to understand something here. Jesus is not condoning the steward because he was a cheat. Instead, it was because he was a sinner seeking redemption. The steward receives commissions for managing the master's debts. And so in his own defense, he basically cut out his share of the debt and gave the debtors a break in their repayment, thus gaining favor with the debtors. He had the change of heart and decided that money isn't everything. And he turned away from material things. If this man can do this, the followers of Christ surely can do this. This is when we realize the pursuit of the kingdom of God is a better path than the following the path of riches. And it is here that we come to the crossroads in our life, a fork in the road, so to speak. Because like the steward, we make the choice of which path to follow, a path towards riches or a path towards spirituality. Now, as I was writing this homily, I was being texted by an old student of mine. He was rather surprised to hear from him. It had been 10 or 12 years since I had him in my class, and although I see him on Facebook from time to time, I haven't communicated with him since 2018. He's a young man in his mid-40s, about the same age as my oldest daughter and my niece. And he began his text with, "I made a big mistake." And then silence. Now, he's one of my most promising students in architecture design. And he left to continue his education. He went on to get his Bachelor's of Science degree and of all things, mortuary services, a far field from design. But he's currently an account manager for a law firm, so he's really doing quite well for himself. Then he came back with me with another thing and said, "I want to design. I miss it." This is not a spiritual path that Jesus is speaking of, but a secular one, but it certainly is a fork in the road for this young man. Which path does he take? Well, I advised him to take the path that brings him the most joy in his life. Sometimes the path we take gives us monetary rewards, but is that enough? What does it take to follow an alternative path and bring us the joy that we need, even if it is more costly to us and gives us different types of rewards than those that are monetary? Jesus is calling us to follow and do the same things here. He said a couple of weeks ago, you must hate your mother and father and sister and brother and yourself to come follow me. Your path will not be an easy one, but the reward will be greater, greater than any material reward you could ever get here on earth. Our path to follow Jesus is a hard one. It's full of crossroads and turning points and places where we must make decisions. We are all empowered by the Word of God at our fingertips to make the right choices and our spiritual development in our secular life. The gospel commands three things from us. The first commands the listener to be prudent with his wealth. Followers must handle their wealth with an eye on the ultimate reward of everlasting life. They should be generous, kind, considerate to the less fortunate, the poor, the homeless, and those suffering. Second, it commands the listener to be trustworthy. Those can be trusted with small things, can be trusted with larger things. If a person handles monetary things in a trustworthy manner, so too can he handle the affairs of the kingdom of God. And thirdly, no man can serve two masters. You either love one and despise the other, or despise one and love the other. Probably the hardest of the things in the gospel that demands. How do we do this in our lives? It's not easy. But Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our counselor. He's our friend. Jesus is the source of redemption. And we look towards him and his words to guide us through the path that we undertake in our lives, both in our secular path and in our spiritual path. It is our faith in him, our love in God, that brings us toward our goals that we seek. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.